The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment of I'm Talking To You, originally recorded and broadcast on Wednesday, July the 23rd, 2025 at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled Conspiracy Theory. And the time is 9:10 a.m. here in London, making it 4:10 a.m. on the east coast of America and 10 minutes past one on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, so this bonus show was made possible via four donations: a £5, a £20, a £100, and a £25 I received since the last bonus show, which went out on July the 17th. I want to thank these kind supporters of the show. They not only provided the money I needed for not just one bonus show, but two. The second will be recorded and broadcast tomorrow. And on top of all that, they have also put £40 in the kitty, which means I only need another £10 for another bonus show. So if you want a bonus show on Friday as well, the donate button is at the top of my website, achshow.com, and the rest is up to you. Okay, so today's show title, Conspiracy Theory. A little drink of water. It relates to the film Conspiracy Theory, which I never saw, came out in 1997, starred Mel Gibson and Julia Roberts. It was directed by Richard Donner, who did the Lethal Weapon films, again with Mel Gibson. I don't know why I never saw it. I mean, conspiracy theories are my thing, as you know, and especially I like the ones from that period. But I don't know why I never saw it. So it's been, 28 years old now. But I finally saw it. I was out at one of the charity shops on one of my weekend travels on Saturday. And there was a shop that were doing four DVDs for £1. So that cost me just over a quarter in dollars, as they say. It's basically, it's difficult to describe sort of what it's about. I've got some notes made. I don't want to sort of, I mean, obviously the clue's in the title. It's conspiracy theory. Basically, Mel Gibson is a cab driver in New York City, and it opens up and everyone that's in his cab, he's like going on about all these different things that are really going on in the world that are being hidden. And he's just a relentless monologue that he's coming out with. And he tries to get the assistance of someone in government, the Julia Roberts character, who, interestingly, is called Alice Sutton, which I can't help thinking is a reference to Anthony Sutton, because he was quite a prominent author at that time. He did books such as Wall Street and The Rise of Hitler, which is the sort of thing that the establishment would accept. Do you see what I mean? Rather than anything else getting into Wall Street and banking and money out of nothing, all that sort of stuff. I don't really want to go there, okay? Again, being as it's 1997, The World Trade Center towers are featured in the film, and I only mention that because, of course, for me, that was the biggest event in my lifetime. Although I might argue that COVID was bigger, because COVID directly impacted me, and I'm sure impacted you too. Whereas 9/11 was something that really just directly impacted the people in New York City, and obviously any relatives, friends and all that of the victims, etc. And for everyone else, it was something that people have been looking, you know, multiple books have been written about and all sorts of stuff over the years. But I got locked down, as I'm sure you did. I fortunately worked for myself, so there was no mandate for a jab, things like that. But there were friends of mine, you know, Maleficus Scott, he had to leave his job because he refused to get a jab, even though he worked outside as a gardener. But fortunately, that worked out well for him long term, because he went on to something bigger and better. But as an event, as a single event, World Trade Center bombing was probably the biggest event of my lifetime, whereas COVID was kind of a slow burn. You know, it started off in China, and then they started locking people in there, supposedly nailing people in apartment buildings. We're all having a good chuckle over in the West, and look at how these barbaric Chinese people are behaving towards their citizens, nailing them into places so they can die, etc., etc. And suddenly, spreads over here, so we're told, and we're locked down. And this isn't a COVID show, but I could obviously go on about that forever, as I'm sure you could too, with your own experiences. But the give you an idea of the conspiracy theories that the film Conspiracy Theory covered. This is from Wikipedia, a quote. Among the numerous conspiracy theories mentioned by Jerry, which is Mel Gibson's character, include the Rockefeller Center, fluoridation, the United Nations, the JFK assassination, Watergate funder Armand Hammer, the New World Order, Freemasons, the CIA, the Vatican, microchipping of pets, moon landings, Pearl Harbor, and silent black helicopters. And from my recollection, how the Grateful Dead worked for British intelligence, and Jerry Garcia was a 007 figure like James Bond, and his death was faked. And also the curious case of why many of the assassins of high-profile figures have three names, such as John Wilkes Booth, Lee Harvey Oswald, James Earl Ray, and Mark David Chapman. I'd not thought about that one before, but I think if you have a think about it, you probably come up with some other names. Mel Gibson did lament the point in the film that he couldn't explain why Sirhan Sirhan only had two names. Maybe his middle name was Sirhan as well. He said that too. So the interesting thing, though, about the Wikipedia page is that it doesn't mention the production budget when it usually does for films. Therefore, it disguises the fact that the film was a financial success. But I discovered quite easily that the film's budget was $80 million, and the Wikipedia page does tell us that it went on to gross $137 million, making it a success. But again, most Wikipedia pages on films, it gives you the budget for the film and what it made. So it could always, it has a section further down, box office, and that's where it says, well, it was a financial success or it wasn't. And despite the line in the Wikipedia page's opening paragraph, and I quote, "The film grossed $137 million and critical reviews were mixed. All the reviews the Wikipedia page chose to publish were negative." And have a listen to this last one. In his 2003 book, A Culture of Conspiracy, political scientist Michael Barkin notes that a vast popular audience has been introduced by the film to the notion that the US government is controlled by a deep state whose secret agents use black helicopters, a view once confined to the radical right. So it sounds like he's lamenting that point. You know, I wish that hadn't have got out. I wish more people weren't, you know, looking into this. I wish it was just this fringe mad element. I might be wrong, but that's the way I interpret that quote. But if you caught my shows with the late, great Dr. Lorraine Day, you may remember that she was plagued by helicopters flying over her house. Indeed, on one occasion, a helicopter flew so low, it actually shattered one of her windows. So, whilst I tend to trust Wikipedia for film reviews, for me, the conspiracy element of the film Conspiracy Theory has caused Wikipedia to adopt a negative slant towards this film based upon the points I have raised. But whilst the film's worth watching for anyone interested in conspiracy theories, it could have been so much better. And surprise, surprise, no conspiracy theories relating to usury or the banking system were mentioned in this film. Again, I'm sure that, when the COVID came out, all right, I was running around trying to buy, like, the film Contagion, for example. I actually had a copy on Blu-ray that I probably paid a pound or two for. And then when COVID came along, there were people selling them for like 50 quid. I think it had gone out of print and stuff, and everyone wanted the, what's Hollywood made on this topic and pre-programming and all that sort of stuff. But short of films like, disaster films like 2012 or The Day After Tomorrow, or, I said Contagion, San Andreas, earthquake-type films, Volcano, world-changing events, Pole Shift, that sort of stuff. Knowing is a brilliant film if you haven't seen it, with Nicolas Cage. I'm not aware of a film like Conspiracy Theory that delves into this sort of minutiae, but if any of you are, I'm sure that you'll get in touch. That being said, I would say if you're interested in conspiracy theories, you haven't seen it, there'll be long drawn action bits. And the other thing is, I didn't mention, is it has a lot to do with MKUltra as well, which interestingly is something else that the Wikipedia didn't mention, although this is a key element of the film. So I'm not sure I'll be watching it again, but I am pleased that I watched it, because as I say, it's the only mainstream film I'm aware of that actually looked right into some of these conspiracy theories, called the film Conspiracy Theory, and I doubt we'll see anything like that while we have the people that we have running the world today. Okay, I'm going to give you some shows that I've downloaded, because I found some interesting ones today. First off, a few weeks ago, David John Oates returned home from his long camping trip, meaning that he's back to doing reverse speech, looking for reversals each week and reporting them on the Jeff Rentz program. And I believe this is probably behind the paywall, but you might get lucky on Rentz.com, otherwise RentzRadio.com, and look at a subscription. The third hour of yesterday's show, reverse speech and Donald Trump. I'll be interested to hear later, because the funny thing is that when Trump was running, so he was campaigning for his first election win, 2015, 2016, whatever, David John Oates was doing reversals on him on Jeff's show, and pretty much everything that he said turned out, when played in reverse, to play the same way, meaning that he was being honest. However, when he got into power, these things didn't all come to light, and I never heard, because I wasn't listening to David John Oates back then, so I never got to hear these reversals, but Jeff Rentz fully admits that he was on the Trump train first time around, really thought that this guy was going to buck the system and what have you. So I'll be interested to hear, because in the years since that I have been listening to David John Oates' speech reversals on Jeff Rentz's show, they regularly talk about how Trump seemed to be able to deceive reverse speech, which they're not aware of other people who've managed to do that. So I'll be interested to hear what that show is all about. Dr. Patrick Slattery, he is on republicbroadcasting.org, but here you'll need to go to republicbroadcastingarchives.org. Click the drop-down box on the top at the right-hand side and click his name in it. Dr. Patrick Slattery, or Patrick Slattery, I think it's under. He had Don Advo on the show yesterday. his weekday show, I'll get it right third time, for an hour. Don Abbo is always very interesting to listen to. He's a lawyer. He's based in California. And that explains some of the bumper music I was catching as I was going through the file, editing the commercials out. I'm sorry, RBN. The funny thing is that Patrick pre-records most of his shows and he puts his own music in. Not music he's done, but pretty much every song that he played had a California theme because he likes to do things that are relevant to his guests. And then they put all the adverts in and put it out. So then I download it and I take all the adverts out back to how it was before I play it. But there you go. Then a show that I've actually already pretty much finished. In the first hour of the Alex Jones show yesterday, and I don't remember the last time I listened to that, he had Martin Armstrong on. And he's an economics guy that you may be familiar with. Quite interesting. But he'd made, I hadn't listened to the, it was either an article or a show or something. I hadn't listened to it. But it was basically, we can't avoid nuclear war now is his message. So I thought, I'll give this a listen. And quite frankly, just before I started doing this show, I started shouting at my phone. Because even after Alex Jones apologised for interrupting, the guy's talking about how the government was, effectively issuing its own currency in the Civil War. You know, Lincoln did it. And then he has to jump in, even after he said, apologised for interrupting. Oh, and Kennedy, in 1963, Kennedy did the United States vote. And it's like, dude, you know when to jump in when the guy's finished speaking. I don't know why interviewers struggle with that. If the guy hasn't got anything worth saying, then don't have him on. But don't have someone on so that you can jump in all the time and do like an in before. Oh, I better get in before and say, I mean, everybody knows that Kennedy did that if they're listening to shows like that, surely. That's one of the first things that you hear about. It's something that Michael Collins Piper disputed because he claimed that these United States notes that Kennedy issued, the claim was that after he was assassinated, these were all gotten rid of, but he said that they were still being issued under Lyndon B. Johnson's time. And of course, Michael Collins Piper pointed the finger at a very different culprit for the assassination of John F. Kennedy, which I don't think the other so-called independent media shows would do. So there you go. Should have just read the article. But finally, this is why I'm leaving till the end, because I'm most looking forward to it. Something very different. Michael Francis on his YouTube channel. He's been popping up all over the place recently. He interviewed Bill Maher, didn't he, or something. I believe he's quite a big talk show host in America. He had him on his show and he had an argument with him. I see him referenced in the Daily Mail a fair few times. And unfortunately, what's been happening is when I first got into Michael Francis, all the people that he interviewed were criminal figures. I mean, not just mafia, he even went into prison to interview the son of Sam, David Berkowitz. And fortunately, he didn't bring his dog along, but that's another story. Since in more recent times, he's been doing like personal advice shows and interviewing, you know, giving political opinions on different things and stuff like that. And I think really trying to expand his repertoire from a true crime interviewer to an influencer, shall we say, something like that. And I like what he does, you know. That's how I got into him. I prefer him to stay like that. So you can imagine how pleased I was when this morning I saw on his website a show entitled Pablo Escobar's Son Breaks Silence About His Father, Narcos and the Cartel. So that's an hour and 20 minutes, and that's going to be something I will be listening to later in the day. So I hope that these show ideas are of use to you. And let's have a look and see what I've found of interest in the news since Saturday's show. So let's go over to, just move this over, I've got all my articles saved here. I've just got an email, Ozzy Osbourne's dead, !!! I mean, has this guy been in hibernation since last night? Whoever sent me that. But let's go over to the first article I have. Now, this goes back to the Club World Cup that was held in America. What's happened is this kind of, it started off about 25 odd years ago, something like that, and it was a bit sporadic. Then it started running every year, stuff like that. But what FIFA have done, if they've changed the Club World Cup from yearly to every 4 years, which is like the World Cup is played, okay? And Chelsea ended up winning it, and this was a couple of weeks ago now. But what they've done is they've said Chelsea are the first official Club World Cup champions. And the previous winners, such as Liverpool, Manchester City, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Manchester United, they will no longer be called world champions, former world champions. They'll be known as FIFA Intercontinental Champions. So the competition was first played in 2000 as the Club World Championship, and then it didn't return until 2005, and it was then played annually until 2023, before this new form, which is like the Football World Cup, going to be every 4 years. So the inaugural winners are Chelsea. Very rare for an English, certainly England. I was listening to the Jared Harris, who's Richard Harris's son, his commentary with John Carpenter on the Amber Heard film The Ward, and the subject of football comes up, and John Carpenter says, yeah, why do you English go on so much about 1966, this World Cup win? And Jared Harris says, well, basically because we know it's never going to happen again. And I think that he's right on that score. I mean, they did well under Southgate, and I was kind of thinking that, well, they're just a good team, because Gareth Southgate wasn't really a proven manager before he got the England job, just because the manager did something stupid. He lasted one game, and then there was some sort of financial impropriety he was accused of, and he resigned. And the Southgate was, I think, running the youth team, and they just thought they'd give him a chance, and he won a couple of games, so they kept him in. But since they brought this new manager in, Thomas Tuchel, who's German, who's actually won a European championship, I believe, as a manager. The Champions League, I believe he won as a manager. My mind's going, I think it was with Chelsea. And that's why I was very surprised when he got dismissed. But there you go. Chelsea have very much been a hiring and firing team from ever since Roman Abramovich took over, and he's since sold it on. But I'll stop. I don't want to turn this into a football show. So he's taken over, and he's all right. He's only had two or three games so far, but he's not been particularly impressive. And his role, he's got like an 18-month contract, and the purpose of his contract is actually to win the World Cup, okay? Because England have got semi-finals and what have you before, but they've never won it since 1966, and they were playing at home. The tournament took place in England then, and there's a great I've never understood why, you know, if you're a team, you're out to do a job, but when it comes to things like football, if you're playing in your home country or you're playing in your home ground and you've got most of the supporters are cheering for you, apparently it gives you a great psychological advantage. And one wonders if England would have won the World Cup in 66 had they not been playing in England. And there's still people that dispute one of the goals. Did it go over the line or didn't it, etc., etc., etc. But going back to this Club World Cup that Chelsea won, in the United States. It was in New Jersey. After the game finishes, they're all presented with their medals and the cup, and then they go onto the field and they all jump up and down handing the cup to everyone for photos. Well, Trump had to insert himself with the team there. And when they're doing all their celebrations, he didn't just sort of walk away, he stayed with them. You know, I'm Donald Trump, I'm part of this. The guy is such a revolting egomaniac. And there's been reports that some of the team were like, you know, looking at each other like, what's he doing? You know, this is our celebration. It's this is the sort of thing that you would make pictures out of that people might have on their walls and stuff like that. This is the Chelsea team that won the inaugural Club World Cup. They might never win it again. They've only got a chance every 4 years to do so. So don't be surprised if when these images do come out that someone will airbrush Trump out of them, because he shouldn't have bloody well been there. You know, you hand the clap over and then you get out the way, but not Trump. Oh, no, no, no. No, Trump's so big, he has to insert himself into every little event that he possibly can. So I was quite disgusted with that behaviour, but not surprised. Let's just get that. Okay, so let's move on to the next story. I hadn't heard about this guy, but there was a Saudi Arabian prince who was hit by a car in London when he was 15 years old. And he spent over 20 years in a coma in a hospital on a ventilator, and he died in the last week or so. He was called Prince Al-Waleed, and he was the eldest son of Prince Khaled bin Talal al-Saud. So there you go. I've never even heard of the guy in a coma for 20 years. Let's move on to going back to football, but it's not for another reason. There's a Manchester United star, no longer plays for them. He was quite popular when he did. He's called Javier Hernandez. And he's been taken over the coals, roasted over the coals, whatever the saying is, for making comments that people say are sexist towards women. He posted a video on Instagram in which he said, "Women, you are failing. You are eradicating masculinity by making society hypersensitive. Embrace your feminine energy, nurturing, caring, receiving, multiplying, cleaning, maintaining the home, which is the most precious place for us men. Do not be afraid to be women, to allow yourselves to be led by a man who only wants to see you happy, because we do not know heaven without you. Holding yourselves responsible for your energy is also a way of loving you." He added, "Men, we are failing in the lack of commitment, putting our partners last, not keeping our word, and not prioritising habits to become admirable. I understand that we are afraid to speak and truly express what we feel because they are trying to eradicate masculinity, since in certain cases of the past, feminine energy was suppressed, but many of us are here wanting to love you, take care of you, respect you, and provide for you. But you women must learn to honour masculinity," is how he apparently ended that post. Or video, whatever it was. So there you go. We've got, and I picked this up off the BBC. You've heard about these ransomware hackers that go into, break into people, businesses, computer systems, and it turns out one of these ransomware attacks actually destroyed a 158-year-old company and put 700 people out of work. The company was called KNP. It was a transport company in Northamptonshire, which is near London. And basically, the hackers got into the computer system just by, they guessed an employee's password, and then they encrypted the company's data and locked its internal systems, and then they go over to a company. I don't know how they do it, but they basically say, if you want us to unlock it, you have to pay us I think it's generally several million pounds. But now the company is no more. But only back in 2023, KMP had 500 lorries that it was using. But this gang of hackers called Akira got into their system, computer system, and the company were unable to access any of the data that they needed to run the business. So again, depending everything on computers and those sort of, you start to think, well, maybe they weren't such a good idea after all, go back to old paper records and stuff like that. The ransom note read as follows. If you're reading this, it means the internal infrastructure of your company is fully or partially dead. Let's keep all the tears of resentment to ourselves and try to build a constructive dialogue. And whilst they didn't, there's actually specialist ransomware negotiation firms now. So this is really widespread. And they estimated the price for the ransom to unlock the systems again could have been as much as £5 million. It's really astonishing that these sort of things can be going on, and it makes you wonder how it was allowed to get to this sort of stage, that a company built like that, just with 1 week password, someone can get in and literally just destroy the whole company, put all these people out of work. Very sad. It turns out that one in six drivers with garages in the UK can't park their vehicle in them, because cars have become so big these days, it's just getting ridiculous. And I see in some car parks, they're over the edge of spaces because they're too big for the space. It's amazing how this idea, I don't know where the idea came about, but, you know, it's astonishing to me. And, of course, I heard the stories about how I'm not sure which car park it was, but there was some report of some car parking company that owns a chain of car parks in the UK that seemed to intimate that these new electric vehicles were a lot heavier than conventional vehicles, and as a result they're worried if the car parks can sustain the weight, because as more and more people buy them and park them on their floors, they don't know if they're going to be, you know, if it's going to cause a collapse or something like that. I reported on Stephen Colbert, whatever, who lost his talk show in America, and he responded to, he's called himself a martyr. And he told Trump to go F himself. That was his parting shot at Trump. And Tesla has opened its first diner. It's in Hollywood, apparently. And it's got a drive-in cinema. You have robot servers and Cybertruck Happy Meals. The sort of food that they're offering is salads and cinnamon rolls that wouldn't appeal to me at all. I think they might do some the menu split into six sections: breakfast, burgers and sandwiches, kids menu, sides, desserts and beverages. Okay. I hope that is safe there. We know that people have been attacking Teslas. One wonders if they're going to turn on the diner as well. But it might be very different people attacking it now, because when that was going on, it was because Musk was close to Trump, and now he's not close to Trump, and some of Trump's supporters have been attacking Musk, but then some of them also been attacking Trump over the Epstein thing. It's all getting very, very confusing. The Daily Mail ran an article about apps on your phone that are spying on you. It shouldn't be any surprise. They're also data hungry, and they can get hold of your location. They can listen to you via your microphone, etc., etc., etc. You're looking at things like Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, these sorts of things. So again, there were... Someone was talking the other day about turning off updates on your phone, stuff like this. This is something you might want to look into in more detail, but it's something certainly to be aware of. And then, finally, saw this yesterday, that the US House Speaker, Mike Johnson, closed the chamber early to block the Epstein vote. And the vote was to release more of the files on Epstein. And it means that it won't take place until September. So it sounds like it's some sort of summer recess that they've had. And he's done it early. I now understand why Dr. Patrick Slattery refers to him as Dick Johnson. And I'm reminded of there was a guy at school called Paul Johnson, and someone said to him that line out of the Police Academy film, "There's Johnsons as far as the eye can see," and he ended up chasing him around the football field. Anyway, I think that's the last one that I've got there. Stories. So let's have a look and see what's happening in the mainstream news right now. Associated Press. Top story, the latest Israeli strikes in Gaza kill at least 21 people, health authorities say. That's their top story. Have a look over at Reuters. Trump strikes tariff deal with Japan, auto stock surge. Let's go over to the BBC and do their top 10. See what's going on over here. Okay, so number 10, Africa to be hit hard as UK foreign aid cuts revealed. Number 9, does Edinburgh Royal Mile need 72 tourist gift shops? Number 8, teeth marks suggest terror bird was killed by reptile 13 million years ago. Number 7, RIP Aussie and lion, yes. Number 6, I felt ignored by police when I was cyber flashed. Number 5, British couple held by Taliban may die in prison, son warns. Number 4, a hospital gave us 2 death certificates for dad to cover up their mistake. Number 3, AI deepfake porn humiliated me, says more dumped. Number 2, protests in Ukraine as Zelensky signs bill targeting anti-corruption bodies. And number 1, there will never be another Aussie, stars pay tribute to rock legend. Ozzy Osbourne, I was reading that he was regarded as the godfather of heavy metal, but I only ever heard one Black Sabbath album. It was the one with, Iron Man on. And it's such a slow sort of song. To me, I would associate heavy metal more with something like Motorhead, you know? And I remember my favourite song of theirs, which I first heard on an episode of Beavis and Butthead, is No Voices in the Sky. And as soon as it comes on MTV, they're just going, yes, yes, yes. If you can see that clip, although their T-shirts, I think, were of Metallica and whatever the other one was, I think that they were really, their favourite was Motorhead and Lemmy out of Motorhead, what have you. Worth watching for Beavis singing along. Eye to eye, tooth for tooth, you all know what I mean. But that's my impression anyway. Not sure how accurate it is. My impression of Beavis's impression of Lemmy. Okay, let's go over to the Daily Mail. See what's going on at the top. Again, it's about Ozzy Osbourne, the top story. And then below that, we've got Mother arrested in Mauritius with her son 6 after being coerced into carrying suitcase full of cannabis. Okay, now let's go and have a look and see what's happening in the independent media. So we will... Well, I was going to skip RT. I'd already clicked on it and I was going to click away. But the top story is protesters chant Zelensky is the devil in Kiev. The demonstrators were outraged by a law curbing the independence of anti-corruption agencies. So, yeah, I mean, you know, this could be nonsense because it's coming out of Russia. And, of course, Russia are at war with Ukraine. And But it'd be interesting if Zelensky hasn't got quite the support among the Ukrainian people that we in the West are being led to believe. Let's go over to rents.com, see what's going on over here. I can't get the thing to go to the right place. I'm going too far down. Here we are. Oh, top story, 100% chance of nuclear war, Armstrong. So looks like Jeff was looking at that as well. That takes you to a Rumble video. So I would suggest that if you are interested in what he has to say, you go to that before you go to the Alex Jones interview, because Jones kept interrupting Armstrong. And if you want to hear about it, it's probably best to go to a different source. Let's see. Alex Jones at one point played a clip of him with Greg Hunter. And this is him with Greg Hunter. So, yeah, you're probably better off with the Greg Hunter interviews. 65 minutes, apparently. So, yeah, you can go to that at the top of the news section on rents.com. There you go. Let's go over to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. See what's going on over there. 6 tiny earthquakes rattle New Jersey, which is where Hal Turner lives. An army under the command of an American has attacked Russia. This is something to do with some guy in the Ukrainian army that was leading some sort of, I don't know what they call it, division, platoon, company, I don't know. Not a military person, but he's also got American citizenship. It's quite an interesting story. So technically, you can say, I mean, we know what's really going on anyway. You could say that you've actually got someone who's legitimately American leading attacks, Ukrainian attacks against Russia, sort of on the ground, so to speak. So that's worth having a look at. Then let's go to earthnewspaper.com. There's something here I wanted to read to you. Because this show is called Conspiracy Theory. There is a book by Zachary K. Hubbard. It's the book of the day on earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Else's website. It's called Numbers Games, 9/11 to Coronavirus. Should you read this book? If you think it is interesting that on September 11th, 2001, Flight 77 reportedly hit the 77-foot-tall Pentagon in Washington, D.C. on the 77th Meridian West after taking off at 8:20 a.m. and crashing at 9:37 a.m. 77 minutes later, then this book is for you. Furthermore, if you can comprehend that there is a code of numbers behind the letters of the English language, as simple as ABC is 123, and using this code reveals that phrases and names such as September 11th, World Trade Center, and Order from Chaos equate to 77, this book is definitely for you. And please know, these are all facts, just the same as it is a fact that Pentagon construction began on September the 11th, 1941, just prior to Pearl Harbor. Number Games 9/11 to Coronavirus was written for the purpose of educating the people of the world about the agendas that are being carried out against us and the very clear plan that went into motion in 1968 when coronavirus was coined, World Trade Center construction in New York began, and 911 was made the United States National Emergency Dialing Code. As the reader will learn, these agendas, as well as many others that are related, have been executed by a numerical code known as Gematria, and they are for the sake of building a surveillance state across the world so that powerful interests can peer into and keep tabs on the lives of the masses for the sake of continued power and control. Number Games 9/11 to Coronavirus also names the parties responsible with definite evidence. To put it mildly, this is the type of book that the Vatican wishes was locked away in one of their vaults, but fortunately for the reader, it is not. So I hope it's not going to blame everything on the Vatican. Certainly that bit that I read I found of interest, which is why I wanted to share it with you. And let's finish off with the Before It's News Top 10. So, starting off with, letting the website load up and scrolling down to number 10, that would help. Number 10 went up 6 hours ago, 97 people viewing. Situation update, 7/23, 2025. Trump's global military alliance, Obama, Biden, Harris regime, over 500 children Obama ADM face charges of treason. All a bit confusing, that one. But it's got Q plus in the image, so that's probably why. Number 9 went up 9 hours ago, 116 people viewing. New X22 report: Obama belongs in jail, sedition, treason, justice, Epstein files scandal blows up 2025. Number 8 went up 13 hours ago, 118 people viewing. And we know, 7/22/25, Trump showtime, get ready for next phase, the enormity of what is coming will, and then the headline runs out. Number 7 went up 4 hours ago, 119 people viewing. Ed Dowd, full disclosure, US Inc. dissolved, no more IRS, Federal Reserve, video. Number 6 went up 12 hours ago, 119 people viewing. The spiritual consequences of drinking alcohol they never told you. Alcohol 2025. Number 5 went up 13 hours ago, 128 people viewing. Lloyd Brunson, emergency alert, it's go time, 7/22/25, the SCOTUS Brunson case. Number 4 went up 7 hours ago, 144 people viewing. David Nino Rodriguez, Michael Jayco and Scott McKay, Big Intel, 7/23/2025. Obama, the first arrest? Question mark. Number 3 went up 12 hours ago, 225 people viewing. The evidence is in Atlantis. Human DNA was altered by ancient gods, 2025. Number 2 went up 12 hours ago, 341 people viewing. Derek Johnson, Brad Wozni, Big Intel, July 22nd, Trump currency reset, Obama, tribunals, Nuremberg. And number 1 went up 12 hours ago, 474 people viewing. Wan O'Savin, Big Intel, July 22nd, discussed the Q operation, breaking news by Wan O'Savin and Jordan Clark. Okay, so let's play the closing music. I want to thank all of you for joining me on this bonus show of I'm Talking To You, episode 242, Conspiracy Theory. I'll be back again with another bonus show tomorrow. And until then, folks, thank you for joining me today. Have a wonderful day, and bye for now.